Well, who woke up early to see the lunar eclipse? Anyone besides me? Yeah, a couple of you. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I got a picture with my phone, but it's not a very good picture. But you can see more pictures online if you ask your mom and dad to look those up for you. All right. Well, it is good to be back with you this morning, and even better, I get to open up the Word of God and talk to you about it, and that is one of my favorite things in the whole world to do, so I'm glad to be back with you. And of course, Mr. Paul, Mr. Rizzo already said what we're talking about this morning, aren't we? Sola what? Soli Deo Gloria, which means what? Yeah. All glory be to God for the glory of God alone. That's exactly right. Well, you know, I cannot say it enough. I cannot say it emphatically enough that the glory of God is the most important thing, period. And I think I probably have said that every time I've been with you. But again, I can't say it emphatically enough, and we can't say that enough, because everything God has ever done, everything God is doing now, sit up. Everything God is doing now, everything God will ever do, is for His own glory. That lunar eclipse this morning was for His own glory. He created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in and around the earth for His own glory. He sent a flood and preserved Noah and his sons and the rest of his family through that flood for His glory. He sent His chosen nation of Israel into Egypt knowing that they would become slaves there. And then He brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, for His own glory. And He even sent His own Son, didn't He? And he sent Him to the cross. And He raised Him on the third day for His own glory. And that's because God's glory is the number one thing to God. And that is why we do everything, or we are to do everything, soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. And that is why last time I was with you, I talked to you about Colossians 3:17, and what a great verse that was to go along with the quotation that the fifth and sixth graders just did, that spoke to this idea of whatever you do, or in word or in deed, you do it with all your heart. And if we're doing everything for the glory of God alone, we do it all for the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever we do for God's glory. It has to be the most important thing to us, too, if we love God. And this morning, I want to talk to you about that. But instead of just repeating what I've said before, I've got two examples of men who did not give glory to God. I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to not give glory and the danger that comes from not giving glory to God. And one of them is from the Old Testament. One of them is from the New Testament. And the one in the Old Testament is from Daniel chapter 5. And in Daniel chapter 5, we read about a man named Belshazzar, who was the king of Babylon. Now, you guys probably remember, hopefully many of you do, that when Israel was exiled to Babylon, they were exiled. Why? Because they disobeyed God. Actually, it was the kingdom of Judah at that point, which was exiled to Babylon. They were being judged by God because they had not given God the glory. They had disobeyed His word repeatedly. He says to do these things, and they did not honor God. So they got exiled as a result. And the king who had exiled them was a man named Nebuchadnezzar. And you may have heard that name before, Nebuchadnezzar. He was the father of Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar was actually a guy who set up a statue of himself and said, everyone's got to worship this statue of me. And there were three guys, at least, in Babylon who didn't do that. I talked about them one day last year, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were put into the fiery furnace as a result, but God saved them out of that. Well, Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's son, and he became king after Nebuchadnezzar, but he did not learn from his father. He did not learn from the mistakes of his father. You see, Nebuchadnezzar eventually realized that God is the real God. We read about that in Daniel 4, that God is the true king. But Belshazzar didn't learn from his father. And so when Belshazzar was king, he decided, I am going to have a party. And so if he's going to have a party, he's going to invite all the best people. So he had over 1,000 of the most prominent, powerful, best people in Babylon come to his palace for a party one day. And he was so happy with himself that, you know, I am not satisfied with the plates and the dishes I already have. Why don't you bring all of the gold and the silver cups and all the stuff that we took out of the temple in Jerusalem when my dad conquered Israel? And bring those in and we'll eat off of those. You see, that was the stuff that had been in the temple back in Jerusalem in Israel. The stuff that was in the temple of God, the temple that his father had destroyed. And so what Belshazzar decided to do was basically spit in the face of God and say, I am the king of Babylon. I am going to glorify myself and I'm going to use the things from the temple where the true God, the God of Israel, was to be worshipped. I'm going to use that stuff to throw myself a party. Well, during the party, all of a sudden, if you can imagine, everyone look at the wall over here. During the party, imagine if a hand appeared, just a hand, and a finger started writing in the wall. Because that's exactly what happened in that palace that day at the party for everybody to see. Just a hand, not a person, but just a hand with fingers writing in the wall. And, well, what would happen? How would you react if something like that happened? Would you be scared? I think I'd probably be freaked out a little bit. The Bible says that Belshazzar, the king, went pale. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it means that he basically turned as white as a sheet. And here the king was. He had all his wise men around him. He brings them and says, please tell me what this hand just wrote in my wall. And none of them could tell. But there was someone in Babylon who could tell. Someone named Daniel. And the queen remembered how Daniel had interpreted dreams for Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar. That happens earlier in Daniel. And so Belshazzar brings Daniel in, and he looks at the wall, and he is able to read it. And it says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Which doesn't mean anything to you and me, except it's translated for us. And Daniel translates it, and it says, God, and he's talking to Belshazzar, God has numbered your kingdom, and it will come to an end. You have been weighed and been found wanting. Now what that means, boys and girls, guys and girls, young men, young women, is that God saw what Belshazzar did. God saw that Belshazzar gave himself the glory instead of giving God the glory. And so God decided, you have been weighed. You are not up to par. You don't meet my standard, and I am going to take your glory away. And that's what it meant. And that very night, Belshazzar was killed. And his kingdom was given to somebody else named Darius. And so the Babylonian Empire that had conquered Israel that night fell, and another empire called the Medo-Persian Empire took over. The glory of God is the most important thing to God. And he doesn't tolerate it when people don't give him the glory. There's another man in the New Testament. This one man is named Herod Agrippa. He's the grandson of Herod the Great, who was kind of the king when Jesus was born. And Herod Agrippa was the one who ruled most of Israel when the apostles, the time of Jesus and the apostles, when they were in their adult ages and doing ministry. And in Acts chapter 12, we read something that happened there. How the apostle James, you know, the apostles Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and so on. James was killed. Herod Agrippa had him put to death with a sword. And he saw that everyone, all the Jews were happy about that because the Jews didn't like the fact that there was this new thing called Christianity, this, the church here, that made them happy. So then he had Peter arrested, probably wanting to do the same thing to him. Well, God rescued Peter out of prison. But later on, Herod Agrippa became so angry with the people in two towns called Tyre and Sidon. And the people in those towns depended on Herod for food. They depended on Herod Agrippa to provide them with food. And so when he got mad at them, they got really worried. So they came begging to him for peace. They basically threw themselves at his mercy. Please don't be mad at us. We depend on you for food. And so Herod one day puts on all his royal clothes, you know. Today I put on my jacket since I was going to be in front of people preaching the word, you know, just to look a little bit nicer than usual. Herod put on all his royal clothes and he got up to speak to them. And the people started shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man," to try to make Herod happy. They were calling him a God. Now, what should Herod have done? Anybody have an idea of what Herod should have done when they called him a God? What should he have done? He should have said, "I am not a God." That is exactly right. But do you think Herod said that? No, he didn't. He should have said, "I'm not a God. I may be a king. I may be powerful, but I'm not a God. I'm just a man." But Herod didn't do that. He accepted their praise as a God. And you know what happened? I'm going to tell you, but you have to promise to forget about it by lunchtime and then remember it later. Okay? The Bible says, this is kind of gross actually. The Bible says that immediately the angel of the Lord struck him, quote, "because he did not give God the glory and he was eaten by worms." Ew. Now that sounds gross. It is gross, right? But that's the lesson this morning. That's how seriously God takes his glory. You got two kings, two different locations, two different eras. They're hundreds of years apart, but both refused to give God the glory. Both preferred to keep the glory for themselves, and both of them had their glory taken away by God, and they died. Now, what does that have to do with you and me this morning? What does that have to do with your teachers and with Mr. Rizzo? Well, our God is a big God. And our God is a powerful God. And our God is a good God. And our God is a wise God. And our God is a gracious God. And our God is a loving God. But more than anything, our God is a holy God. That means he's special. That means he's set apart. That he's perfect in everything. And he will not endure forever people who don't give glory to him. Now we live in a world where most of the time people don't give him the glory. And instead they choose to do what they want to do. They choose to talk like they want to talk. They choose to think how they want to think. And you know what? You and I do that too. We are guilty of that too, because you and I are sinners. We are sinners. We disobey God. We do it more than we think. Whether you're in kindergarten, or whether you're in high school, whether you're an adult and a teacher or whatever, or a pastor like me, we are all sinners. None of us is holy like God. Only God is truly holy, holy, holy. Only God is truly glorious. And so the question for me and the question for you this morning is whether we will give God the glory, doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus, or instead keep doing what we want to do and choose to glorify ourselves and make ourselves happy first. I'm here to tell you this morning that our God is so good, and he has sent his son Jesus Christ, who the Bible calls the King of Glory. He sent him into this world and he was nailed to a cross. the King of Glory was killed. And on the third day he was raised from the dead, and he is today alive. And why? So that people like you and me, if we trust in him, if we give him the glory today, he will glorify us forever with him. And that is so much better than not giving him the glory. So this morning, as you go to your classes, and you ask yourself, am I giving God the glory? Think, are you? It is how hard I'm working, especially on the last class day of the week. It's how hard I'm working. It's my attitude. It's how I'm treating others. It's how I'm listening to my teachers. It's how, is what I'm doing to make me happy, or is it to make God happy? I'm here to tell you today that if you choose not to give God the glory with your life, then sooner or later he will take your glory away. Because that's what God does. That's what a holy God does. But if you realize how great God is and you live to please him, even here at school, then he will be pleased with you. And guess what? He will make you happier than you ever imagined. So that's my encouragement to you today. To think about how you're living your life. With every thought, every word, every action, am I glorifying God? Am I trying to glorify God with what I'm doing? Do I trust him to take care of me if I choose to give him all the glory? And I encourage you to live sola deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. All right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and as these boys and girls, these young men and women go back to their classes now, I pray that they would think about your word, think about your glory, and realize that you are more precious than silver, you are more costly than gold, you are the most precious thing we could ever imagine, you are more glorious than anything we could possibly think of. And so help us give you the glory with our lives, and trusting you to take care of everything with us. We give you the glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.